Rosh Hashiva, we are starting Hilchos Beis Knesses. Ezrat Hashem, today we are on page 60, the bottom of 60, Simen Kuf Nun, the 150th Simen in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so we see over here at the beginning of the Mechaber is talking about the union of building a Beis Knesses. The question is, what kind of mitzvah is it? Mitzvah Daraisa, the Rabbanan. So in Pasha Pshat, we have a pasuk in the Torah that says, V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. In the beginning of Parshas Truman, we know that's their chiyuv to build a Beis HaMikdash, build the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash. That's the mitzvah, V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. Pasha Pshat is talking about only the Beis HaMikdash. However, Alpi the Zohar is mefarish that the mitzvah of Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham is also in the place that the man, there's no Beis HaMikdash. They go ahead when you have a sar mitpalin to make a makam kavu for tefillah, so the shechina b'shachem b'tocham is also mitzvah d'oraisa to build a Beis Knesset for everyone to come. Go ahead and dwell there. Not everyone agrees, the Lamaisa, that this is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Some say it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Some say it's not even a mitzvah d'rabbanan. It's just obviously a chiyuv for the tzibur to build a Beis Knesset, to have a mekum to daven there, but it's not, per se, a specific mitzvah d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. Whatever it might be, it's obviously a very, very important thing and a chiyuv for every community to have a Beis Knesset, a mekum miyuchad for tefillah that everyone goes at and dwell. And for sure, a lot of the lachas we'll see in Hilchos Beis Knesset are going to be patterned after the Beis HaMikdash. Some of the things we'll see are follow after the ways of the Beis HaMikdash. And for sure, that is what we have nowadays. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash, but we're saying Rabin, so we have only the Beis Knesses to go ahead and pour our hearts out to Kodesh Baruch. So says the Mechaber over here, Kofin b'de'ayir zetzeh, leave note Beit HaKnesset, v'niknos lahem Torah Nevi'im u'ksuvim. So the b'de'ayir, back in the day where the Rav of the city, they had more shlita, at least over the Jewish community. So even though, let's say, you had some people that did not want the shul in the community, it's too bad. They could be kofin, they could force the people to spend their money in order to build a Beit Knesset in the community. Okay, if they can't have a buy a Beit Knesset, they don't have enough money. The Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan Bey says, "V'imein kochan livnos mechuyavin akoponim liskor makom miyuchad l'tefila." They have to at least rent out a place that will be a makom miyuchad for tefila. That is a chiyuv upon every community. Similarly, like we said at the beginning, we see the schiv also from the Rambam. The Rambam quoted over here in the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah over here, Sikot and Aleph, Zeh Loshna Rambam Hilchos Tefillah Perikid Aleph, Kol Makom Sheish Bo Asara Mi Yisrael, any place that has at least 10 Jews, Tzarech Lahachin Lo Bayis Shikantzu Bo Letefillah, you have to set aside a specific place that is going to be the makom of miyuchad for tefillah. B'kol eis tefillah for any time you're going to daven. Makom zen nikra Beit Knesset. V'afilu ami yicholin lakof at the rabbim, like the Melashon, the Mechaber over here, based on the Rambam. Even the miyu could go ahead and force the rabbim to go ahead. So not only they could, okay, so that's the mechiyuv over here of building Beis Knesset. The Ramah just adds in over here, v'ayin el simen nun hey, sivka bezin kovin zazel, liskor lahem minyan. Whether you have to force people to come to minyan, whether you can force the community, let's say there's only 8 people showing up to shul. If you can force people to pay money, let's say the 2 guys don't want to come to shul, the 2 guys don't want to come to shul, can you force them to pay money to rent other people to come to shul? Okay, that's discussed in simen nun hey, whether you can force the people to go ahead and continue. But that is the chiyuv, that is the basis of everything we're going to talk in the upcoming number of simanim in Hilchos Beis Knesses. There's a lot of halacha lemaisa, things that are connected to coming to tefillah, coming to the Beis Knesses, kedusha samakom, all these things here we're Bezrat Hashem going to be discussing in the coming days. Nowadays, you have many places, but it's not really a problem in most communities. In most Jewish communities, you have a shul, an Orthodox shul, to go ahead and go to. The question in most communities is how many shuls to have? Okay, how many shuls should you build in a community that's a bigger community in a big city, v'chulei, not in such a big city? Most places might want to have numerous Beit Knesses because people have different needs and different wants when it comes to shul. There's the Nesach Ashkenaz and Sfarad and the Hasidim and v'chulei, people want. So, for sure, I think everyone would agree. In a perfect society, which I don't know has ever occurred in Jewish history, but in a perfect place, it would be that there would be one shul for the community. Maybe that was like the Alexandria shul. I mean, trying to discuss, the shul was so gigantic that he couldn't even hear the Shliach Tzibur. When he daven, he still have to hold up a flag when the Tzibur would know how to answer Amen. But some of them, they also had a second shul also for the people who wouldn't daven there also. But the best thing would be like the Mishnah of the Shar Tzion brings down over here in Sifkat and Gimel, which is a concept that we saw a lot in Hilchos Tefillah. And this is a general concept But when you're dealing with mitzvahs, the concept of rov am hadras melech. The best thing is that the more Jews that come together to do a mitzvah together, that's always going to be the best case scenario to have one place for everyone to go ahead and daven. However, because of those needs that I just mentioned before, the Hasidim and the Sephardim and the Ashkenazim and the different Nusachs and people like different speeds and basically like different rabbis, all these reasons come to cause, when you put all these Jews together, cause to be a lot of friction in the shul, and therefore, many times it's not so plausible to have one shul for everyone. And therefore, based on the Tshuva Saradvas, quoted over here in the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Beis, about six lines down on page 61, says the Tshuva Saradvas, I am Tshuva Saradvas, Chelek Gimel Simen Tov, I am Beis Teherech B'dim Meil. He discussed a lot about these dinim of when you're allowed to add another shul. Ubesov Dvarov Kotov. The bottom line is the following. The Kol Zebiz Man Shekulam Leiv Echad. Who shekilusan aloyaf? Only when all the Jews have the same kivun, everyone wants to be together. Those type of things, that's going to be the best of rov hamadris melch. We're to have one place for all those people to go ahead and daven. Aval im cholok libam. If people have different hearts, they have different wants, different desires, and therefore they don't get along with each other. Yoter tov sheis pal kol kat b'fnei atzma. It's better for each different group of people to have their own shul and have their own minyan. V'lotita b'divrei b'dvari lomar shani sover shalchaluka tova chasachalil. Don't think that I think, the Radvaz says, that I think that it's good that Jews separate and we have to have different shuls. That's not the best. Da krok siv chavur atzabim afrayim hanach lo. Cholik li bavatai shemanu. Hopefully one day we'll have a leader that will be able to unite Klal Yisrael and bring them together, that we can all dive in together. However, it's just going to cause fights and machlokas and a shul of a lot of kinds that we talked, sorry, in Hilchos Kriyas Torah. We do not want to have any fights and machlokas. That is a reason to separate, and therefore he says the bottom line, therefore, if it's going to cause machlokas in most places, it's going to be because this one wants this, not nusach, and that one, and this one wants a rab who gets more musr than one, less musr, okay? More learning, less learning, whatever it might be, all these things in a shul that happens to me, comes to shul politics, v'chulei v'chulei, all these things are reasons why it's okay that nowadays, not okay, but it l'maisa, it's okay that nowadays we have a separate shul for every different thing. This one wants a little more chassidus, this one wants a little more of this, okay, therefore we have to, not only that, even within a shul. Within the show, you'll see, we'll have the main minion of the Ashkenazi minion of this minion, this one that's down early, this one that's down late, a little faster, less talking, more talking, all these things, which obviously are not allowed to do in show, but nevertheless, they see, of the talking minions and this minion and that minion, those reasons, we have different minyanim to try and accommodate the different Jews, and obviously it's the rav of each community to try and raise up and try and miyachid the community and trying to bring it up to higher levels. But that's based on this Tshuva Saradvaz, is the makor why, you'll see why it's okay for us to have different shuls, but really the best thing to do is have one central shul for everyone, and that would have been in the perfect world. Sif Bet. I'm sorry, before we get to Sif Bet, the Bir Halacha over here, Dibra Masl, leave note, brings down, he says, I am Berk Yosef Shekatov, the Yesh Mi Shekatov, the Ain, leave note, Be Knesset, Al Yidei Oved Galuli. You should not build your shul using Goyish contractors. They should, Goyim should not be building the base Knesset. We see that Shlomo Melech used Goyim to build the base of Migdash. It's not looked upon so highly. Therefore, we try not having Goyim build the Beit Knesset. There are numbers of Haterim that are brought down in the Sifrei HaPoskim. Why we're no egg to be make on this? Okay, so the Piskei Tshuvas quotes the Stei Chemed for the first Hater. That is, that if you find Goyim that are going to be Yoter Mumchim, they're going to be able to do a better job than the Jewish workers, so then that is one heter, and the chor that in Chutz La'aretz is a lot of that terum, because most of the contractors and builders, especially in the smaller towns, it's going to be very hard to find Jewish workers who are going to be able to build a nice enough shul, a good enough job, because better workers outside of the Jewish workers, and therefore that is one of that terum that people rely on this day, chemet. They also point to a Tshuvas Ramah. The Tshuvas Ramah in Simen Yud talks about, in general, what about you hiring non-Jewish work? It's not so pashut in general. You could go, you have a Jewish store and a non-Jewish store. To go ahead and go to the non-Jewish store, we have a mitzvah v'yamcha. You're supposed to support your own nation, and therefore, really, you're supposed to go to the Jewish store. So how do you go ahead and go to the goy? So the Ramah writes, there is a heter if the non-Jewish store is much, much cheaper than the Jewish store. That is also a heter that Jews like to rely on, is because the Jewish labor is going to be more expensive. How more expensive does it have to be? Moreno Rabbeinu Rav Neventzel said, the general guideline is, in all these types of shaylas, is 20%. If it's going to be 20% more than to go ahead and buy from a Jew, then there is no chiyuv to go ahead and buy from the Jew. You could use, when you're dealing with, though, building buildings and stuff like that, 20% is a lot of money. You're dealing with millions upon millions of dollars, perhaps, if you're going to have to hire Jewish workers over 20%. So you have to discuss the Rav with every different Shiloh when it comes to these things. Okay, so those are some of the terim that we rely on. Lechora also in Eretz Yisrael, you have a big, number one, Eretz Yisrael, the Stei Chemetz approach is not really so plausible. You can find many, many good Jewish workers over here in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, that could do a fine job. Okay, in terms of the price, that usually the labor is cheaper amongst the non-Jews than when it comes to the Jews. But then you're dealing with lots of other issues with supporting certain non-Jews who want to kill us and things like that. That all has to be taken in consideration when building a house or building anything else when it comes to these things. But Rove Scholz, probably in the world, much more than Rov. A big Rov has been built by non-Jews, relying on one of the Terim that we have just discussed. Similarly, the Ber Halacha says, if in the city, even if they have a shul, but let's say that shul gets closed down between Minyanim, and it's not a place where you could go ahead and learn, says the Ber Halacha, Dibur Masa Likos Lam Torah Nevim Aksuzim, says, Pashit. If there's no central location of a base medjish for people to go ahead and learn, he goes to basic knesses who do whatever reason the basic knesset is not plausible to go ahead and make this as a base medjish. You can co-open each other also to build a base medjish, just like Yehuda went into Goshen first to go ahead and make sure that the first thing there was a base medjish. Every community has to have a base medjish. No one should ever think about living in a community that does not have a base medjish for people to go ahead and learn. So many places the Beit Knesset services at, and they have separate rooms and places that are fine to do that. But there should be a base medrash that people could go ahead and learn that. Therefore, that's what the Ber Halacha brings down over here. And furthermore, it says over here that the Beis Knesset is a schiyav to liknos lam Torah Nevi'im Uksivim. They have to have Tanakh for people to go ahead and learn, as the Mishnah Berurah brings down over here. And Sivkot Gimel, Kedei Sheikra Ben Kol Mishi Yertza Min HaTzibor. So people can read, anyone who needs to read these in the Tzibor. Then the Mishnah Berurah says the following. This is back in the day where your Torah Shebichtav was only Tanakh. You could only have Tanakh written down. There was no other Sfarim that were written. It was all passed down from Masorah. However, he says, now you do have to have all the other Sfarim in the community also, so that, because that is how we learn nowadays. We don't learn from Masorah, just passing down from father to child, from Rebbe to Talmud. We learn how to Svarim, and therefore every community also has to have Svarim for the community to go ahead and learn it. Now, moving on to Siv Bet. Says the Mechaber over here, it's based on a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Aleph. Says the Mechaber over, Ein Boni Beis HaKnesses Ela Begovo Shel Ir. The Beis Knesses is supposed to be the highest point of the city. Okay, we quote a pasuk over here. It's supposed to be the highest point of the city. Tziv katan dalad shenamer berosh homios tigra. Okay, so therefore it's supposed to be at the rosh. It's supposed to be the highest point. Okay, and tziv katan hey also shenamer l'romim et pesa lokenu. It's supposed to be highest. It's supposed to be l'romim et pesa lokenu. It is supposed to be the highest point of the city. It is supposed to be the shul of the city. We'll get to that in a second. What in the world nowadays? We don't see this halacha being followed. But that is the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos tells us. Now, the Mechaber goes on and says like this, Umagbino to'achia gavua mikol bata ir, it should be raised that it's higher than all others, all of the houses in the city. Shemishtamshim behem lafuki bironia. Some of the words are very hard over here, so look inside, I'll explain everything. Okay? Except for one exception, as the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, is the Bironios. What are these Bironios? That the Bironios are allowed to be higher than the Beit Knesset? Perush. Binyanim asuim lenoi. They were just building those. They were built for beauty. It's just to make the city look nice. Those types of things. Targum shischios chamda Bironis shapiran. Migdalin shemishtamish behem. Also, towers that were not being used. If you have a tower that is not being used, or a binyanim that were just built for beauty, those things could be bigger than the Beit Knesset. But anything that's being used, an office building, a house, all those things are supposed to be lower than the shul of the city. If let's say you have a roof that is a very big pointed roof and then slants down, okay? So therefore it's not really usable. You can't use that roof. Misharin on makom shu roy letashvish. You go after the last plate where it's roy to be used. Okay, so let's say you have 10 komot, 10 levels to the building, but the top two levels are not able to be used. Okay, whatever it might be, they're not be able to use. So you go after the eighth floor would be the point where that's considered the top of the building. If you have a second floor underneath the roof, the second floor, when you build that addition to the house, cannot be higher than the Beit Knesset of the city. Okay, so that is the Me'ikr to Dinah from the Gemara. The Beit Knesset is supposed to be the highest part of the city. I think we can all understand why that should be. That should be the point where you're looking up to the highest point. That should be higher than the city. That's the halacha over here, based on the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. So what in the world is it? No, you look around the whole world, including here in Eretz Yisrael, and most places, I don't even know if I can think of one, that the Shul is the highest point, probably some new city in Eretz Yisrael. They probably tried following this halacha, and they put it as the highest point. But most places in the world, the Shul is not the highest point of the city. What do they do with the Shulchan Aruch? Okay? So the Ramah over here says, U'bishasa dechak. If it's a Shas Chak, or you live in a place where the Malchus does not let you build a shul at the top of the city. You can imagine, back in the day, the Goyim did not want the Beit Knesset to be the tallest building in the city. Or they wanted the church or other buildings, whatever it might be. The government did not let the Beit Knesset be the tallest point in the city. So they're mutter litpalu bevayis. It's still mutter to David in a house afal pisha darim ba'aliyah gabal. He's talking about a very even worse over here. If the Goyim did not even let a shul in the city, so therefore they had to do like the shuls in hiding. So what would they do? They would put it in the basement floor, and they would build apartment buildings above, so it looked like an apartment building. And in the basement, they would have a shul. So the Ramah says over here, b'shas tachak, that's going to be mutter ubilvad shinagu ba'aliyah shalav nevekias. There's certain halachas though that we'll learn later on in Hilchos Beis Knesset. Any apartment that's going to be on top of a shul, there's certain halachas where you are and not allowed to do it. What type of room is allowed to be on top of the Beit Knesset? That we'll learn later on. Kamosh Yisbar, Bisof, Simen, Kuf, Nun, Aleph. So the number one heter over here, and I think we can all understand that, back in the day where the Jews are not Bishlita, and therefore they didn't have the right to go ahead and build a shul at the highest point of the city. They weren't even allowed to have shuls in some places. So that was what the Jews relied on in many of the communities, to go ahead and have the shul at the lower point. Comes the Bach. He says very similarly, and the Magen Avraham quotes it also. Over here in Sif Katan Hay, it says like this. There's those places that are not nizar in this halacha also. I know they could do it, but they are not nizar. The reason is they don't build a bit higher than all the other Jewish houses. You can ask, okay, the guy let the guy do what they do, and we'll at least have the shul at the top point of the Jewish house. He says the cave in Shiesham Harbe Bati Alve Gulin. She Gavoim the Beis Knesset. Anyways, if you're living next to the Goyim, their churches are very high, and they have other buildings that are much higher than our shul. In Kame Balav Hachi Leka Hekarlo Beis Knesset. Once that's going to be, then there's not going to be a hecker to our shul that it's the highest point. Once there's other buildings that are higher, even though the Goyim built them, but nevertheless, it's going to be higher than the Beit Knesset. There's no more hecker that it's not recognizable anymore that the Beit Knesset is the highest building. When we call Makom, he says, and therefore he's saying that the Jews themselves will be allowed to even build their buildings higher. He says, says the Mishnah Berurah over here, one should be Zar, ki Gemara Hechmira. The Gemara was very, very machmir. This as it even says that your house will be eventually destroyed if you build it higher than the Beit Knesset. So it's nothing that you want to get involved with. But these are some of that terror that are brought down. Rosh Shlomo Zalman quoted in Alicha Shlomo, Yotet HaRavav, he does not understand nowadays why here in Eretz Yisrael, why people are not mocked. He says, I don't know exactly what the heter. He tries going back and forth, perhaps based on a couple of things, but he ends up saying Tzarech Ian on where the heter belongs, especially with the newer communities that are being built. There's many newer communities, even very, very frum communities that, all right, if you look around, they were built well after that, the chance where they were able to build up the community, but nevertheless, the shul is not the top of the community. It's not the highest thing. So therefore, these sarchin, what people are really knowing to be makel on in this nekuda. One very interesting har, Morena Rabbeinu Rav Nevinson makes over here is there's one exception to the rule. He says perhaps he says over here in Dibur Asul Magbin. He says b'mekomo rabim loik pidu b'kach uglay b'glal onus. First, he starts saying that many places are not makdis. Maybe it's because of an onus. So it could be that there's certain places of onus. There was no other choice in the matter. Fine, he says b'yushalayim. When you're dealing with Yerushalayim here at Kodesh, ulay p'turim lahakpid. It could be that in Yerushalayim, you might have thought exactly the opposite, but Yerushalayim was the one place where you don't have to be makpid on this. Why? taking the words of the pasuk, "L'roman beis elokeinu," in the future, Bezrat Hashem, we are going to have the tallest building, and that is the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore the tallest building in the Yerushalayim is only miyuchad for the Beis Hamikdash and the Beis Hamikdash only, and therefore, according to this, Rabbeinu Levinson holds, then Yerushalayim, perhaps that's the hetter why in Yerushalayim you do not have to have the Beit Knesset in the Gova Shel Ir, because anyways, in the future we're supposed to have the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore perhaps based on this, at least Yerushalayim has a reason why it's putter from this din of having it the tallest thing. But other than that, what one is supposed to do is supposed to follow this. If you all possible, we'll see tomorrow. As rather, what's going to happen if someone in a community where the shul is supposed to be the tallest builds an addition to his house, and he builds an addition higher than the shul? What's going to be halacha l'maaseh with that? Adkan for today.